Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. It's a Monday morning. It's kind of the slow part of the NFL offseason. The NFL draft's now over. I mean, no big deal. We'll still continue to break down football here at Railbird Central. But coming off a weekend in which the Packers didn't practice, the draft is over, not a whole lot of news coming out. You get a couple features now and here from the beat writers covering the team, which is always appreciated. We broke down the offensive line changes in depth last Friday. Over the weekend was the Kentucky Derby, in which Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb were all in attendance at. At least they were the parties the night before the Kentucky Derby in Louisville. At least that's what I'm told. I don't know if they actually attended the race or not. Anybody watch coverage of the Kentucky Derby on NBC? Did they show Aaron Rodgers? I know they had in previous years. It's like he had been in attendance at the Kentucky Derby the past three previous years. Nice win by Orb, by the way. That's a horse that has the look of it that it could be a Triple Crown contender. But we'll get to some football talk here. What I wanted to do to spend the better part of the day, the episode, is to talk about the defensive side of the football. Kind of in a series we began last week. I wanted to break down position by position every position on the team. Last Wednesday, we did the offensive side of the football. Today, I want to get to the defensive side of the football. Friday, we had to break down the offensive line rather in depth, given the big seismic shift changes along the offensive line with Blag and Sitton moving over to the left side. But let's go through this here. Let's break down this Packers defense position by position, because we'll have plenty to talk about later this week as we actually get to rookie orientation camp this upcoming weekend. I think players get into town Thursday, and then for 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they actually hit the field, things like that. So kind of exciting, actually getting back into the time where they start practicing again. Just rookies this upcoming weekend, but not long after that, they're getting into OTAs and mini camps. So we'll actually be seeing some Packers hit the practice field here in not too long. But let's break this down, and let's start up front and then work our way backwards. So let's start with the defensive line this morning and kind of take a look at it in depth here post NFL draft. Take a look at the guys they've now added to the roster and see how they fit in. So of course, during the NFL draft, the Packers spend their first round draft choice on a defensive lineman, UCLA's Dayton Jones. And you know, we've talked about him a lot on this show already and at Cheesehead TV, and we'll kind of see where he fits in here now. And then in the sixth round, the Packers took a defensive lineman on Mississippi State, Josh Boyd. So two defensive linemen, and they join a position where I think the biggest story is the five expiring contracts after the 2013 season. Yeah, there's five Packers defensive linemen whose contracts expire after this upcoming year. So I think that kind of clues you in a little bit as to why the Packers took Dayton Jones, because they got a little issue at the position after this year. Not to say they can't get some reinforcements, but or re-sign some of these players, but definitely a little little shaky on the future outlook of the Packers with B.J. Raji, Ryan Pickett, Mike Neal, C.J. Wilson, and Johnny Jolly all competing for a contract extension, we'll say, because they all got 1 year left on their deals. And you know, I think kind of the centerpiece of the defensive line is Johnny Jolly is B.J. Raji, the guy who was the first round draft choice in 2009 and has been with the Packers now entering his fourth season in the NFL. And, you know, he's a guy who really kind of had a promising rookie season, didn't do a whole lot, but then busted out the Super Bowl year in 2010. Had six sacks and, of course, had the big postseason, including the NFC Championship game, where the interception returned for a touchdown. And, it, you know, that was kind of the high point for B.J. Raji, and seemingly it's kind of been downhill since then, a little bit. Not to say B.J. Raji has always played poorly. A lot of people will point to that he's probably played too much or make that argument as the best player the defensive line has had. The Packers have put him out there quite a bit, and as the argument goes, has worn him down as well. Well, now the Packers at least have some depth here in 2013, and maybe they can do more of a rotation and keep him a little bit fresher, and which you'd hope he would play a little bit better as well. But he's kind of the centerpiece and you know, kind of the guy you would hope the Packers actually re-sign. If it comes anywhere in the defensive line, he would be the guy. He's 330 pounds. He can play the nose, can play defensive end. You know, he's one of the few players on the roster that can play the nose. So from that standpoint, from that aspect, that's a big thing. The Packers need that kind of guy who at 330 pounds can still get after the passer, has the ability to get after the passer. You know, he had those six sacks in 2010. Hasn't come near matching that sense, but, you know, the ability's there. He's still a relatively young guy. I think B.J. Raji's 26 years old. You'd love to see him, you know, those guys stay very good and into, you know, up to at least 30 years old. Many play well into their 30s like Ryan Pickett has done, and kind of the player we'll get into now with Ryan Pickett. You know, what is he? He's like 34 years old. He's the oldest player on the Packers roster. Acquisition of Ted Thompson, one of his few free agent acquisitions. But, you know, ever since Ryan Pickett came to town in 2006, he's been an integral part of the Packers defense. Not a flashy player because he doesn't get a whole lot of sacks, but really this consistent performer along the defensive line, probably the best run stuffer on the team. A guy who really knows how to two-gap, a guy who knows how to take up space, a guy who knows how to open up things for the linebackers behind him, and a guy who's just in there week in, week out, and a veteran presence, you know, kind of a leader, kind of one of those guys you look up to for, you know, his leadership and experience and things like that. So, But the concern with Ryan Pickett, of course, is that he is the oldest player on the roster, and being the last year on his contract, maybe it's his last year on the team. You know, I don't want to throw that out there yet, but, you know, it could be, potentially, you know, depending upon how he plays this year, it is going to be a big determining factor. But, you know, remember at one point before he signed his last contract, Ryan Pickett was he received the franchise tag. The franchise tag. I bet, like, that doesn't even register with most people that Ryan Pickett actually received the franchise tag from the Packers. Tell me, you guys on the live blog, if you knew that. Because I think he's just like an underrated player overall. And a lot of people don't realize how important he is to the Packers defense. Now, certainly he's not that type of player anymore. if he does come back to the Packers, it's going to be a small contract worth one or two seasons. John remembers that. Very good. So between him and Raji, those are your only two guys, experienced guys on the roster who are, in excess of 330 pounds. You need those type of players on the team. You have to have two of those guys. When you're running a 3-4 defense, you got to have two of those types of guys on your team, two of those big mammoth guys. And so considering they're both free agents after 2013, it's a little bit of a scary proposition potentially losing both of them. Now, I don't foresee that happening. I think at least one of them will be back. But, ideally you're getting B.J. Raji back and kind of how Ryan Pickett does. This year will depend a lot upon what his future holds. But, he just kind of performs year after year. Ryan Pickett is kind of the guy who you've been saying this for maybe 2-3 years that he's going to wear down eventually. And he's always just been his same steady self. I mean, if the Packers can get another year out of Ryan Pickett like they did last year, that'd be all they can ask for. And that'd be great. Now, beyond the two big guys, the big uglies, the Packers, as far as experienced players, they've got one more run stuffer on the team, and that would be C.J. Wilson. He's kind of considered a starter because he plays on first downs for the Packers, in their base 3-4 defense and being a starter. And C.J. Wilson played pretty well last year. But, he doesn't offer a whole lot of pass rush, although he did have 2 sacks last year. So if he could improve on that, that would certainly go a long way toward him becoming a more valuable player. And then on top of that, you're looking at a couple other interior pass rushers on the team. Not necessarily strictly pass rushers, but... Mike Neal, a guy who probably had the best year of his career last year, end up being maybe the best pass rusher on the defensive line last year. Got a little bit of pressure, got a few hurries here and there, a few sacks here and there. And more importantly, Mike Neal generally stayed healthy last year. And so that was a good sign for him. He's kind of in the same boat. C.J. Wilson, Mike Neal, both in the same boat. Those guys really got to prove themselves this year, whether it's to the Packers or any other team in the NFL, because those guys will be hitting free agency and they're going to want to sign somewhere else. Sign with someone, whether it's with the Packers or not. So those guys will at least be motivated to, have big years. And then the Packers have another interior rusher, Mike Daniels. I see they're talking about on the live blog here. A small guy. He's like 6'1", if that. He might even be fractions over 6 foot even. A small, squatty guy, known for his quickness. He played in the Packers' base 3-4 defense last year because he had to. But you're not looking for guys like that who are 6 foot and 300 pounds to be your run stuffers. The Packers would like to bring Mike Daniels in the sub packages and let him get after the quarterback. It would, he's young. He's only entering his second year. So, it could be a situation where he really develops and becomes that type of player, that type of threat. And that's all you can ask, I think, if Mike Daniels just becomes a good pass rusher, a nickel dime kind of guy. That's fine. Packers could use one of those guys, but he's got to do it. He's got to develop into that type of player. He can't just be the type of guy who never sees the field, which he's in danger of doing because the Packers now add Dayton Jones, a guy who can be a three-down type of player. At least you hope he is. He develops into that kind of guy. And then, there's a couple longer shots on the Packers roster. You know, I don't want to call Jarrell Worthy a long shot because he's going to have injury issues to overcome. Packers' second round draft choice last year, Jarrell Worthy. He had a so-so rookie year. I was relatively disappointing considering how highly regarded he came in. But you give him a pass his rookie year. But the worst thing about it is he suffers the knee injury late in the season, like literally at the end of the regular season, and ends up being put on injured reserve, and now the Packer, it looks like he'll start the season on the PUP list. Whether Jarrell Worthy even comes back by midseason is questionable. You kind of compare what happened to Jarrell Worthy, what happened to Derek Sherrod and Andrew Corliss last year. You know, those guys spent a whole year out of football, and you worry that Jarrell Worthy could be in the same boat. I mean, best case scenario, you're looking at a mid-season return for Jarrell Worthy, and considering the depth the Packers have at the position, they're not going to be too eager to get Worthy off injured reserve. So, kind of disappointing how that all turned out, but but you kind of play it by ear, play it a wait and see, but we'll be waiting a long time yet because he's not even practicing until October, probably November. Anyway, one more guy, one more veteran on the Packers defensive line, Johnny Jolly. You know, after the Packers going ahead, it went ahead and added Dayton Jones and then added another defensive lineman, later in the draft. It's looking like pretty long odds that Johnny Jolly is going to make this team. Not that we're counting him out entirely. I see Dre Divac on the live blog saying, "I really hope Jolly can return to what he had." I think everybody hopes the same thing. But, given the depth on the Packers' defensive line, I mean, how many guys have we gone through already? Quite a few. He has long odds because just there's so many guys, and guys without quite as many question marks and issues as Johnny Jolly, who's coming off a 3-year suspension. I mean, the Packers, from all appearances, are going to give him every shot to prove himself. And yeah, it sure would be nice if he can play like he did in 2009. But, with Dayton Jones coming in, with this Boyd kid coming in, Josh Boyd, going to be a long, steep climb for Johnny Jolly. Who knows? Maybe he'll latch on somewhere, though, in the NFL, even if he ends up getting cut by the Packers. We'll see. A couple other guys, who else did the Packers signed? An undrafted free agent there out of the University of Mississippi. What was his name? He's another Gilbert Pena. He's another 330-pound plus type of guy. He'll be, in the mix for a backup nose tackle position. He's kind of one of those insurance policies you sign. Gilbert Pena probably isn't, expected to be a player, a factor this year. But being as he's only one of three players who has that mass on his size, he's kind of the insurance policy should either BJ Raji or Ryan Pickett get hurt. Then all of a sudden he turns into a real important chess piece on the Packers defensive line. John says on the live blog, possible practice squad candidate. Yeah, could be. And they have the holdover from last year as well. Who did the Packers keep on the practice squad all season long and then add him late in the year? Oh, what's his name? Anyway, kind of a long shot him as well. It'll be tough for him just to get through the off-season portion of the program. But anyway, spend a lot of time here on the defensive line. We got to get to these other positions on the Packers defense here. At outside linebacker, one of the thinner positions on the team. And if I were just ask you off the bat, what are the two thinnest positions on the Packers roster? I think a lot of people would probably say outside linebacker, and then on top of that, safety. A little bit scary that they both come on the defensive side of the football, the two thinnest positions on the team, both on the defensive side. So, I mean, every team is thin somewhere, has a weakness somewhere. It just so happens to be, you know, at outside linebacker in Green Bay. And I mean, considering they have Clay Matthews, now the highest paid linebacker in all of football, I suppose that's a good thing. You know, as long as he's on the field, the Packers are pretty set there. So that's good. I mean, we don't even have to sit here and break down Clay Matthews' game. We know he'll be good. We know he'll be a three-down player. You know he, you know, plays 99% of the plays if healthy. Little bit of issue of, is he healthy? For the first time, he missed four games last year, you know, part of a hamstring injury. And he's had these recurring hamstring injuries. So there's that concern with Clay Matthews. You know, is this going to be an every year thing from him? But, you know, other than that, that's about the only concern you have with Clay Matthews. He's going to be a 10 sack plus kind of guy, double digit sacks, probably even more than 10. At least that's the ideal situation. It's opposite Clay Matthews where the question marks come. And of course, you know, the guy they're going to be relying upon is Nick Perry, last year's first round draft choice. A guy the Packers are going to be relying on quite a bit, and a guy who has a lot yet to prove. Despite being a first-round draft choice, despite showing potential, Nick Perry didn't do a whole lot last year. You know, he flashed, but didn't really do anything so great where you're like, oh man, this guy's a future Pro Bowler. So, you know, he's got a lot to learn. And definitely a lot to learn about playing in space. Definitely was a liability in coverage whenever he was asked to do that. He's more of a bigger type of guy. Needs to learn how to play with a little more fluidity. A little less stiffness to him. But, you know, a guy who conceivably can hold the edge against the run. Can get after the passer. Although he's got to kind of improve his pass rush repertoire in the types of moves he had. Kevin Lamb says on the live blog, Nick Perry nailed Andrew Luck, which, yes, he did. That was kind of his best moment of the entire rookie year there for Nick Perry. But, you know, Packers are going with him come hell or high water, you know, relying on him to improve and be a starter and hope he develops into the first-round draft choice they hoped when they made the pick. So, a lot to prove there for Nick Perry, but he's the guy. He's going to get every shot, every opportunity. And, you know, hopefully he's beyond this wrist injury, which, you know, ended his season last year. But in a way, you're kind of glad it's a wrist injury and not like a knee, like an ACL. I mean, people tend to come back from a wrist injury much easier. Not to say it's not a concern, but as far as injuries go, I suppose you hope that's one of the easier ones to overcome. So, beyond him, the only other guy with any experience at the outside linebacker position is Desmond Moses, a guy who was an undrafted rookie last year, played, exceeded expectations as a rookie. And so, you know, did well from that standpoint. For Desmond Moses, but he didn't do a whole lot. He played on special teams last year, and he kind of played in that one, you know, they call it their bat package. They get an extra linebacker on the field, and you know he did all right. And what, you know, Desmond Moses ended up having a couple sacks, and you just again hope that he develops. He takes another step. Becomes a little bit bigger, better player because, you know, he's the top backup now. If either Clay Matthews or Nick Perry gets hurt, Desmond Moses is the man. And, you know, there's potential there for to see a lot of playing time if there's ever an injury. Ideally, it doesn't come down to that, but, you know, we'll still be on the field in their sub packages regardless. So, need to see improvement there from him, and there's reason to think it will come. A good rookie season, especially for an undrafted type of guy, and we'll see if he continues to develop. But beyond him, the Packers, probably your fourth string is, the guy they added in the late rounds of the NFL draft this past year, or just, this past 2 weekends ago. And that is Nate Palmer out of Illinois State. He kind of enters a good situation, Nate Palmer does, just simply because it's a thin position in Green Bay. I kind of wonder why they spent a six-round draft choice on a guy who's a small school player. I kind of had questions about that. Apparently, the only team he visited in the NFL was the Packers, so there wasn't a whole lot of interest in him elsewhere in the NFL. And who knows, if all of a sudden he hits and he's the real deal, I mean, you're going to have to give Ted Thompson and outside linebackers coach Kevin Green credit, a whole ton of credit. But, they seem to be the only people in the NFL who think anything of this guy, which worries me a little bit. John asks on the live blog, what about Lattimore? And yeah, that the Packers do have a couple guys who can play both, outside linebacker and inside linebacker. Several guys on the team, as Evan points out, Brad Jones has experience at outside linebacker. Jamari Lattimore has experience. Rob Francois has experience at both. All those guys can play both positions in a pinch, although among Jones, Lattimore, and Francois, all of them are more so inside linebackers now. They've all kind of made that position switch where that is their primary position is on the inside. But yeah, it's good that they at least have some versatility, that they can play there, play both, inside and outside, because those are two pretty different positions, playing on basically on the line if you're an outside linebacker, whereas you're playing, 5 yards back, not quite maybe, if you're an inside linebacker. But, the inside backers on the team here, maybe we'll kind of wrap up today with just the front seven of the defense and then save the secondary for our next episode on Wednesday here, as we've kind of been going really in-depth here, taking a lot of our show time up just talking about the front seven of the defense. But hey, that's okay. We can go in-depth on a show like this. That's what we're here for, right? Break it all down. And so the inside linebacker, it's really scary, the whole injury situation. Of course, the Packers released DJ Smith just a day before the NFL draft, a guy who started 6 games last year. And then you got Desmond Bishop, who's coming off his hamstring injury. And I've said this before, I have a lot of questions about whether Desmond Bishop will be able to come back from that and be the same player. I hope so, but I'm just, I'm skeptical. I'm skeptical whether he's going to be able to do that. So, if he doesn't, the incumbents, the guys, who played inside linebacker last year for the majority of the season were Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk. And you kind of get worried a little bit because, neither of those guys did great last year. Brad Jones and A.J. Hawk. And A.J. Hawk's kind of been the same player ever since he came to Green Bay, which there's something to be said about that. At least A.J. Hawk is consistent, and he's a guy you don't have to worry about missing time, at least. He's never injured. You get so down on guys like Mike Neal for being injured all the time. Well, A.J. Hawk's a guy who's never injured, and there's something to be said about that and like that. But, Hawk doesn't make any plays, of course, doesn't make any sacks, any interceptions, or at least, on average, doesn't make enough of those kind of plays, force fumbles, things like that. And Brad Jones, the Packers, give him a fairly large contract in the offseason. They give him starters money, And Brad Jones exceeded anybody's expectations, and that was good. But again, you know, it's just one of those situations where, okay, Brad Jones exceeded expectations, but expectations were pretty low, and, you know, it wasn't exactly a Pro Bowler. Now, you know, Brad Jones, he's still young enough as to where he can improve a little bit, but I don't know how much he can improve. You know, hopefully he does, but, you know, don't hold your breath that he's going to all of a sudden become a Pro Bowl player. But, you know, if Desmond Bishop does come back healthy, you know, maybe they don't got to worry about that too much. So, you know, that's where they're at there. You know, they signed Rob Francois in the offseason as well. He was a free agent. They re-signed him. I think there was a report somewhere, was it in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where Rob Francois will be given a chance to start. The opportunity, I don't know whether he can. He, you would have thought he's been around for quite a while now, since 2010. You know, if he couldn't find playing time in 2011, 2012, what all of a sudden is going to change for Rob Francois? He's on a one-year contract, I believe. So, again, he'll be motivated, you know, if he wants to continue playing in the NFL and start, you know. At least he's highly motivated to play well. But, you know, he'll be another special teams kind of guy. Marcus Lattimore is there, as we've said before. Not Marcus. Jamari Lattimore is there as well. Another, you know, hybrid type inside-outside linebacker, but a guy who adds depth and, you know, more so than anything. Jamari Lattimore is your special teams kind of guy as well. You know, Packer, you can see here, Packers adding a lot of special teamers at the position. That's what, you know, you want your, you know, special teams to be comprised of linebacker type of players who are going to be fast and hit. And of course, the wild card in the bunch is Terrell Manning, the guy who the Packers traded up to get in the NFL draft last year in the fifth round. When he was still on the board, they felt like, wow, we can't believe he's still there. We got to get him. And they did. And of course, you know, as we've talked about here on the show before, as the story goes, ends up having this rare kind of disease called colitis, in which he lost like 15 pounds in training camp. So that, you know, when he wasn't a factor last year, Terrell Manning, you know, you understood why he wasn't a factor. You understood that, you know, okay, he's got this health condition. That's what's preventing him. And so, you know, you hold out hope that Terrell Manning is going to become something more. He has the potential to be a starter. Maybe he's a guy who unseats Brad Jones or A.J. Hawk. If, you know, he would have to really surprise. He's got a long climb ahead of him yet. But, you know, he's got at least the potential to do so. So you kind of hold out hope for that. And then, you know, the Packers draft one, potentially, again, inside linebacker in the NFL draft, waiting until their last pick to do so, Sam Barrington of the University of South Florida in the seventh round. Barrington, who actually played outside linebacker at South Florida, but I think they played more of a 4-3 scheme. So still the kind of guy who's playing off the line of scrimmage. He'll slide inside. He'll be a lot like, you know, Terrell Manning, kind of played the same position in college a little bit. Outside linebacker in a 4-3 in college, going to slide inside in a 3-4, you know, here in the NFL. So I have no clue what to make of Sam Barrington, but, you know, you just hope he pans out. Maybe he's a special teams guy, but it's a deep position. He'll find, you know, he'll have a lot of competition to even be a backup between Francois, Lattimore, those kind of guys. But who knows? Maybe he's got it what it takes. You hope he does. So anyway, that kind of, you know, does it here for breaking down the front seven here. And thank you guys on chiming in on the conversation on the live blog for helping me out and commenting on the situation here. Like I said, we'll come back to it. We'll reconvene on Wednesday and break down the secondary now. We've did all the offense. We did the front seven of the defense, and now we've got just the secondary to worry about. So we'll do that on Wednesday. So Railbird Central airs every Monday, Wednesday, Friday here at CheeseheadTV.com. Airs live. We always podcast the episodes after they air live, so make sure to join us if you're new to the show. Thanks for listening in. I'll see you later, everybody, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called New Country Blues by the Emmett Nershey Band on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack. Go.